How does God value us? It's something many struggle with. And it's no wonder, considering the messages that we get bombarded with every day. From the buzz of social media to our own inner critic and self-doubt, it seems like everything around us is designed to make us question our worth. We compare our behind the scenes with everyone's highlight reel, and it can leave us feeling low and discouraged. So here's the deal. Let's cut through the noise and get to the heart of what God really thinks about us. We're talking about a love so huge, so all-encompassing, that he gave up his only son to make sure that we could be with him forever. This is the kind of love that says you are invaluable, irreplaceable, and infinitely loved. In this episode, we'll look at understanding this love, this crazy, unwavering love. If we can begin to grasp this, it can change everything. It's about more than just feeling good about ourselves. It's about stepping into the true freedom that comes with knowing your true value with God Himself. Let's talk about why it's so hard to believe this truth sometimes, and what we can do to start seeing ourselves the way God does. So if you've ever doubted your worth, wondered if it really matters, or just need a reminder on how precious you are to God, this episode is for you. So let's get into it and discover the freedom of understanding your true worth to God.
Broadcasting directly from our studios in sunny Orlando, Florida, you are listening to Faith Unregulated. We are your hosts, Javi and Jessica Madrigal, and on this podcast, we discuss the hard topics around having bold faith, building strong character, and taking fearless action. So grab a cup of coffee and join the conversation. All right, so today's scripture that we're going to go out the gate with here comes from 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Right.
Yes, and amen.
Right. So this scripture, again, remember, this is our second series on value. Okay, and we're going to be talking today about how God values us. And I believe this scripture really highlights how highly valued that God sees us, right?
Amen. Yeah.
He sees us so, he holds us so in such value enough that he calls us to his own, his own possession, to his, like the scripture said, his own wonderful light.
Precious.
Right.
Like that verse says, precious jewels came to my mind when we were getting ready for this podcast episode. He values us as precious jewels, you guys. We so often forget that he's not just trying to dominate us or control us, or he's trying to relate with us and be with us. He walked with us. Remember, Jesus is God. Right? He's part of the Trinity, just like the Holy Spirit is God. Like it's three in one, remember? So God wanted to walk with us and relate with us and be with us and minister to us and be in relationship.
Right.
That there's no way he was going to take that time and that sacrifice and all of the things we're going to talk about today if he didn't value us way more than we think that he does.
Right. But you know, you made a good point where you're talking about, when you mention that Jesus is God, it's part of he's part of the Trinity, three in one. He is the Son, but he is part of that, the Godhead, right?
God in the flesh.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he came to be human and had a human experience and to ultimately sacrifice himself.
For us. God laid and himself that, down for
right,
us.
That is ultimate love. But many times, you know, I want to go back to your point. Many times we naturally separate things, and I don't know why we do that. Even when we're looking at God, we know the Trinity, but we treat each individual part of that Trinity differently, or not even addressing, maybe, like, for example, the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. right? We forget the Holy Spirit is that helper, that Spirit of God, and that is equally part of that Trinity. And sometimes we either discount or we almost ignore the Holy Spirit.
That's a great point about the Holy Spirit, because here's the thing is that if you don't know much about the Holy Spirit, he's not just some presence or a wind or just like a floating cloud. He's God, and he is a individual piece of the Trinity. And so he is a quote person of the Trinity, right? He's an individual. So he's ministering to us all the time. Jesus said, I'm going to go away and I'm going to send him, literally replacing his presence with us on earth when Jesus was walking, with the Holy Spirit as an entity, as a presence in within us, as a person. So God created us, walked with us in the garden, right? And then eventually, you know, fast forward, way forward to Jesus, walks with us in human flesh, then lays himself down for us, and then sends his counterpart to live inside of us to guide us every step of our lives and empower us to do the things that Jesus did while he was here. I don't know how we can miss the value. The evidence is there.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. And look, I'm talking about separating things. Sometimes I think we fall into this habit of we look at God's word in segments. We look either, well, this is the Old Testament and this is the New Testament. Sometimes some of us just focus on the New Testament. Some of us just love that Old Testament, and that's where we're at. And then we even isolate scripture on its own, but we don't look at it as a whole. And I want to just focus your attention on the whole Word of God for a moment. And if you look at the Word of God, not a book of
guidelines
yeah. or do's and don'ts, it's truly a love letter to his creation.
Amen.
And you're like, well, Javi, how could you say that when especially the Old Testament points to such evil in the world? And even when God just lays out a whole army.
Yeah.
Okay. He does that for his people. He did that and lay and killed his angels, him and his angels killed thousands, millions of opposing armies.
For his people.
For his people.
Who were rejecting him.
Right.
So it's all a picture of him literally being love. He is embodiment, the embodiment of love. I mean, I understand that it's kind of hard to wrap our heads around this, but he's trying to parable after parable, incident after incident, account after account, story after story, person after person, human being after human being that we can personally relate with. They were all broken, imperfect human beings. And yet he was like, I'm going to love you unconditionally if you're walking with me and you're following me.
Right.
We only have to say yes and be in agreement with him. He values us so highly that he's like, I love you no matter what. Just come to me. Be honest with me. Let's get together. Like, and he proves that account after account in the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New. And it is a total love letter.
Even in the fall, in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
He had a plan. The plan was in place, right? Mm-hmm. Once the fall happened, once Adam and Eve did what they did, and sin fell upon humankind, God had a plan through Jesus to redeem his people.
Absolutely.
Right? And the from beginning to end, even in Revelations, mm-hmm. you know, Revelations could be very confusing, and I don't want to really get into it right now. But the thing is it all ends well for his people.
Yeah, we win in the end, guys.
For his people, right? The enemy is completely and utterly defeated.
Yeah, already.
Right? And he does that for us. And I just want you guys to begin to to understand this, because what we said before, if we could really start to understand and get a hold of how much God loves us.
Yeah.
The word of God isn't just motivational speaking. It's not just
inspiration
words to inspire you. These are words to show you how much value he has for you,
right,
how much you are loved. And once we tap into his love and tap into a relationship with Christ, through Christ, we can do all things.
All things. Exactly. And we just really, I think a lot of times as Christians, we are really missing the boat on how much victory we walk in and how much power we have to overcome through Jesus.
Right.
You know, let me bring up the second verse that we have. This is, you guys know this one, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
So again, we're demonstrating his love through his ultimate sacrifice.
Absolutely.
Jesus's ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah. And he's think about this. He took on the weight of sin of people of all time. So one of the things that it's so interesting that I think a lot of people don't realize, and so I want to share this thought, is that if you are in the Word at all, you'll know this is true. But if you're looking at the Old Testament with, for example, Moses, Abraham, you know, Abraham was counted righteous for his faith, right? It's Abraham I'm talking about, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Making sure. So Abraham was counted righteous for his faith, but keep in mind at that point, the law was happening. They had to like do all these works and everything.
No. I'm sorry.
You're talking about Moses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. Cause remember,
Abraham. See, I'm not perfect at this. You guys, it's fine.
Yeah. Because there was no law.
Right. That's what I thought. Abraham. Okay. That's why I was like, wait a minute, this is Moses. Right. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So I'm talking about Moses and how he was counted righteous for his faithfulness. Mm-hmm. So, but there was the law. So the thing is that there was not the Holy Spirit living with them or anything like that. Jesus had not come. He had not redeemed them of their sins. So, and things like that. But when he did die, it said he died for people of all time. So he died for people all the way back to the beginning and people all the way forward. It was like an epicenter almost. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. Like ground zero, where he defeated the enemy in that moment. God came and laid himself down for mankind for all time, before today and tomorrow.
I imagine the scene, right? Like, yeah. No, I mean, because like the earth shook. Imagine the power that was there at the cross, that was demonstrated at that site when Jesus gave his last breath and the earth shook enough to tear the veil that was super thick, right? From top to bottom.
Yeah, it was like 4 inches thick.
But then what happened in the spiritual realm, what you're talking about is what happened there went even across time. It wasn't just in this earthly realm and in the unseen realm, but it was also the realm of time that he impacted.
Right. Let me make a point right now too. So I'm happy to own that I don't know everything. Okay. So he's over here helping me out, because here's the thing. You guys don't have to know everything about where all the scriptures are. I'm terrible at memorizing verses. Like I'm always like, I know the Bible says this. I know the stories. I know God's heart. God's so graceful and merciful. He's like, just get into my word and learn who I am. He didn't say, get into my word and make sure you memorize every verse and that's the only job you have. Make sure you know the verses front to back. Now, he did say, hide my word in your heart because it's beneficial. But his thing is that we need to get to know him, right? I know God and I've read his word. And maybe I don't remember every story exactly perfectly. Man. But think about this. I want you to feel like just feel validated in this moment, because somebody, I don't know why I feel like somebody needs to hear this. I feel like that happened on purpose or something, like, for whatever reason, somebody out there is like, but I'm not a good enough Christian, or I'm not getting to know him good enough, or I'm not reading the Bible enough, or I'm not serving enough, or I'm not. No, this is not about your ability and your perfection to show up exactly how you think you're supposed to. The way you show up is at God's feet, in love with him, ready to say yes and be in agreement with him. That's it. He wants your heart.
Right.
He doesn't need perfection. There's no such thing. And so he values you before you do a thing. He values you perfectly before you show up and interact with him on any level. He values you because of who he is, his unwavering love, not because of our perceived self-value. We've got to start seeing ourselves through God's eyes. I don't have to show up being a Bible scholar to share this with you. I'm sharing my testimony of my interactions with God, not my value of my education on the Bible.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, exactly. And when you said that, what I realized and what came out, God speaking to me, and I want to share with you, is that many times we get caught up with arguing scripture, right?
Yeah.
With fellow Christians or maybe even non-believers.
Yeah.
Okay. We argue, well, the Bible says this, the Bible says this.
Yeah.
But the thing is that when we start arguing, we start losing the true focus of really what it means. We start to have this, instead of standing in unity, we stand on two different sides of a dividing line, because I believe this and I believe God's word says this, or we are running from the enemy, running from the devil. We're pointing out the devil behind every little thing and stop looking at God, right? Remember, Satan knows God's word.
Mm-hmm.
He knows God's word.
Yep.
And he will use God's word to cause confusion. Mm-hmm. And and how do we become confused with God's word? People open up the Bible. I have trouble really understanding what I'm reading.
Mm-hmm.
Look, that is why Jesus sent. That's why we have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's why the Holy Spirit, we have access to God's spirit to help us to bridge that gap, to
interpret,
step forward into relationship with him. Look, there are ministries. I didn't even know this. I found this out yesterday. It's amazing. I'd love to find out more. But I found out about a ministry that goes in to a people group that they don't know how to read. They've never read. They've never seen a book. There are parts
they're
of this.
They're in the bush, man. Right. They're in the middle of nowhere.
There are parts of this world that people, they don't know how to read. That's not part of their culture. Right? So they're developing a way for them to learn about God without even reading. Tell me how that's done. Those individuals that want to be so strict with a version of the Bible. And by the way, if you want to get that strict, you know, because look, I'm just going to say this.
Soapbox it, go.
All right. So certain people want to say, no, this version of the Bible is the only thing. Okay. And they don't allow any other, they don't give validity to any other
viewpoints
or
even human experiences with other versions of the Bible. Like, well, you read that other version, so you must not be saved. Like somehow the words are saving us and not God and his Holy Spirit.
And the thing is, I feel, and forgive me if this is what you, I don't mean to offend, but I'm going to just say what we believe. That's what we say here at Faith Unregulated.
That's right.
Okay. I believe that those different versions are anointed by God, just like everything else. Because in reality, If you want to go to the true version, then you need to learn Hebrew, right?
Yeah.
You need to go back to the original text, because even the KJV isn't exact.
Not even close to the original. Yeah.
Right? So there, God has anointed a mechanism so all people,
right,
whether they could read or not, or they have a certain level of understanding, mm-hmm. different cultures, right? Different levels of education.
Yep.
And what you said, he wants a relationship with you.
Right. Let me ask you a question.
And I'm not saying, well, we need to discard God's word. No, God's word is it's there to feed us. Again, it's that love letter. We do need to understand that.
It's a resource to us. Yes.
But don't let the enemy step in and cause confusion and division. We need to be a united people. Right. We need to be united with with fellow Christians, but we also need to be united with Christ. And right. if we get so caught up with do's and don'ts, we start seeing the Bible as a book full of do's and don'ts, we lose the point. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants to cause division. He wants to, just like the Garden of Eden, don't we say the same thing that the enemy says? Did God really say that?
Mm.
Right?
Right. And so that's the thing, is the enemy's using the Bible as a tool for division, because he understands how humans are. But let me ask you this. I have a question for you. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I wanted to finish. But
you got to talk me down.
But I got to come down now. This is something I always go back to. I want you to think about this. While we have all the resources, we have the Holy Spirit now, you guys. We have all of the evidence how God values us. Here's one more thing I want to say before we move on to the next point. The thief on the cross next to Jesus, how many church services did he go to? How much did he serve in his church? How much Bible do you think he read? How much scripture do you think he memorized?
Right.
How much anything do you think he did? He was a thief. And right. he gave his life to Christ right there next to him. And he said, "You will be with me in glory."
Right.
He got 5 minutes, you guys. Like,
because
God values us that much.
Right.
He wants our spirit. He wants our soul. He wants our participation. He wants our relationship. He wants our covenant. Not just our obedience. Yes, obedience is key, but that was his obedience. He only required that the man was obedient enough to be in covenant with him.
Right. To see him for what he was.
Yes, exactly.
The Messiah, the Savior. He just had to have an open heart.
Yep.
To Christ.
You do not have to be perfect. You do not have to know it all. You don't have to know anything. That dude did not know anything. He was like, but I see who you are. Can I go with you?
keep in mind, he's suffering. Maybe not as much. I don't know if he was beaten like
Jesus was,
but man, that's a beautiful picture, because here, this thief is hanging on the cross in much pain, and he could have been like the other guy.
The other thief.
And mocked him.
Yeah.
And
there's a real depiction between the two types of responses to Jesus.
Exactly.
Yeah. And one of the things I'm just hearing, I don't mean to interrupt, but this is something really powerful, is that this guy didn't have time to come to Jesus, repent, change his ways, walk out his new lifestyle, become different in his actions, clean up his life, stop being a thief, and then prove it to everyone on the planet. Like, he didn't have time to do any of that stuff. It's proof that you don't need to do all of that to give God your heart. He'll meet you right where you are. He values you that much. And it's proven. There's evidence. I've watched it happen to this day with people I know personally. It happened for me personally. He met me in my filth, in the midst of it. He met me in the midst of my sin and my rebellion.
Yeah.
And the darkest place I'd ever been in my life, he came to me. He was with me. And he pulled me out. And I didn't have to change anything for him to do that. And then I changed because he just was with me. And I learned over time to see myself the way he sees me. I didn't immediately see that. I was just obedient to, like, God, I just know you are amazing. And I may not see me how you see me today, but I know that I see you how I'm supposed to see you. And I even learned over time to see him how he truly is, because reading the Bible and walking with him and getting evidence
right.
of who he is.
Right. So the Excuse word me. Of God helps us to live this life.
Yeah.
In Christ, to live this life and yeah. to spread his word, mm-hmm. to spread that good news. The word of God teaches us through stories and yep. parables on how we are no different from the people, from the heroes of the Bible
Amen.
And their struggles.
Yep.
We're no different, but God loved them. So, oh my gosh, if God loved this person,
yep.
he surely could love me.
Yep.
Or I did that same thing and God loved them.
Yes.
God saw them through. So the word of God teaches us, equips us, shows us how much we are loved, right?
Yep. It's all the evidence.
Shows us how to pray.
Yep.
Explains how
to walk with God.
What kind of authority we have over the enemy. Yes. The Bible, you read the Bible, it depicts some pretty hardcore things.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, those that maybe don't read the Bible that much or are new to this. Maybe you're one of those that either looked at the Bible as God's word as a book of do's and don'ts, or that it's full of fluff.
Or it's just an old transcript.
No, it is
alive.
It is alive. Yeah. It is raw.
Yeah.
And that's, again, why here at Faith Unregulated, we want to just
be raw
and just like, put let's down go. All these barriers and really expose the enemy for who he is and declare the authority that God has given us through Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Right. So, and this leads us right into the next scripture. But before we do that, man, I hope you guys are getting value, man. I really feel God moving.
Yeah.
But before we continue, we want to share just one other thing with you.
You guys, if you're getting value, like he said, from this, and this is just something that you just feel inspired by and you feel like it's making a difference, you know, we would love for you to come over and visit us on our Patreon page and to join our community and contribute to our mission of spreading God's word. Every little bit of support makes a difference. You can become a part of our community with a monthly contribution of as little as $1. Your generous support is truly valued, deeply appreciated. Thank you for partnering with us on this journey of faith. You can find us at www.patreon.com/faithunregulated.
All right. So bring up the next scripture, Romans 5:8.
But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Right.
That's so powerful.
Goes right back to what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, he does not wait for us. This is not the evidence, again, is clear. His willingness to sacrifice for us, even before we come to meet him, before we come into agreement, before we turn back to him, is affirming our worth despite our imperfections, our rebellion. And man, I tell you what, he definitely, kept the Jews in check when he was like, you know, when he was like, my people, there's a lot in the Bible about how they were interacting with him and rebelling against him and everything. But yet he always went back to, these are my people. And he, again, kept them in check, but at the same time, loved them unconditionally. And then as it moved out to the Gentiles, which is anybody who's not a Jew, basically, and that's us, right? Who are not Jewish. We are the Gentiles. So it was for the rest of humanity. And there's just his unwavering love, regardless of us coming against him or rebelling. I mean, I don't know about you, but I am bold enough to be in a place in my life. This is way back in the day, but I was in a place in my life of backslidden, like rebellion and shaking my fist at God and saying, I am not ready to come back to you. I'm doing this on my own. I don't need you to come and do this with me. And boy, you know how that went, obviously.
So,
but you know, even in that, he pulled me back out of that. You know, right. He loved me enough. He was with me. He followed me. Even in my, as human beings, we can't do this. We don't do this with people. As soon as someone wrongs us, we're like, well, done with you.
Exactly. Done with you. Jesus can easily have done that.
Yep.
Right. But he didn't. His love for us was so great. Even the closest people to him, his disciples, abandoned him. They all scattered. Peter denied him.
Right.
Right?
His most beloved disciples.
He was left alone and isolated, mm-hmm. being beaten. And, I mean, slashed open, made fun of, spit on, like I said, beaten.
Mocked.
And then, yes, and mocked, and then put on a cross. Yet on that cross, he still loved us to the very end.
Right.
Even his enemies, he loved. He didn't abandon us. He had every opportunity to do that.
Can you imagine? Think about your most valued relationships. I mean, ride or die, like beloved friends, or it's your spouse, or it's your kids, or it's your parents, whatever it is. Like, think about your most beloved. It's your Nana, you know, like, I mean, I would just do anything for that person. And just thinking about them right now, you're like, oh, that person, man, that's like, that relationship's like everything to me. Right. Now imagine that person doing to you what people did to Jesus. And loving them the same way you do today in that moment. That's what Jesus did for us. That's how valuable we are to God. And not because we can do anything for him. He loves us that much and he values us that much because of who he is. That's why we worship him. That's the most important thing, is our covenant with him, our relationship, our connection to him spiritually. The deep well that we have available to us of love, peace, joy, right? Of the things that we can pull from, and victory that we have over the things we need to overcome, the little things, the big things. Even death we get to overcome because we're going to be with him for eternity. But I want you to be in that moment with that person. Can you imagine loving that person the way you do right now if they went and treated you the way that the people treated Jesus that day? I mean, can you imagine the type of love God has, regardless of the way that he was treated? It's unconditional. It is deep and it is pure. And we are his precious jewels.
Right.
And if we walked in our life like we had that, and we truly understood the way that he sees us, how much different would we walk? How different would our lives be if we saw ourselves the way God sees us? And I will second that with something that God finally gifted me with in the last few years, is a true understanding of how he sees others and how I am to see others through his eyes.
Yeah.
That's a major breakthrough. And then you really start to understand who God is.
And really that point right there is, it's tough at times, right? Because we still live in a sinful world.
Yeah.
And
a broken, fallen world.
And those things, those conflicts that come up in life, it makes it hard. But man, that needs to be part of our prayer to God. Lord, help us to see your people as you see them. Yeah. Help me to do that. But look, maybe you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, that sounds good. I understand God's love and he is love and all this. But you're really having a hard time understanding why this innocent man had to die for me. I didn't ask him to die for me.
Right.
Right. You have a hard time doing that. The thing is that in order for us, humankind, to be completely and fully restored,
to God.
To God.
Yeah.
There had to be an ultimate sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Remember, in the Old Testament, they would, I mean, man, you had to, especially these days, you would have had to have like a million cattle, right, to sacrifice.
Yeah.
And
it was crazy.
You had to sacrifice so much livestock to just even come close to atoning for your sins at that time. But here Jesus is, the perfect lamb, the Lamb of God, died on the cross for our sins, a perfect human being, in order for us to have that eternal covenant.
Yeah, and freedom. And the Holy Spirit, like we're armed with the Holy Spirit. We're filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We are in partnership with the Holy Spirit. With God's actual spirit. We think he's out there somewhere. He's inside us. He's with us, in us, around us, always. God's with us.
So if he's willing to do all that.
Yeah.
And forgive us of all our sins, cleanse us of all our sins. Mm-hmm. Don't you think that he will do everything else that he's promised in your life?
Amen.
According to his word? Mm-hmm. Don't you think that he will heal your finances. He will heal your marriage. He will heal those relationships with your family or friends. Mm-hmm. If it's according to his will.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you're in alignment with him about it, if you believe him for it, you ask.
Don't you think that he will heal you of your illness, of your disease,
of your trauma?
I want you to understand this. This is coming from me, a person that lives with a disease, a life-threatening disease. And I believe, I just talked about this last night, I believe God heals me every step of the way. I've had times where I'm struggling with this disease. It's a daily battle. This is the fight that God has chosen for me to have. And because he hasn't healed me completely, hasn't taken this disease from me, do I feel that I'm not worthy? I'm not, Lord, I guess he doesn't hold me to that level of value. Oh, that's good for them, but that's not good for me. No. He has a purpose.
Right.
He has been with me through every step of the way, every doctor's visit, every operating table,
every near-death experience.
Every near-death experience.
Amen.
He has spoken to me. He has ministered to me. He has been there to hold me. Mm-hmm. And one day, if he doesn't heal me here on this earth, he will heal me for the rest of eternity. And that is what really matters. Because really, when you look at eternity, this life is only a small part. Now, look, I know if you suffer from the same disease I do, or if you're suffering from any other disease that is just debilitating, that's hard.
Yeah, it is.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But know that God has you. He loves you. You are highly favored. And whatever it is, God is in it. God is holding you. He is right next to you. And you just have to see and feel that he is there. Reach out to him. Push into him. Lean forward into that relationship. Believe that he is loving on you. And he has a plan for you. Even if the plan is for you to still have this disease, mm-hmm. he still can minister to you and work through you in this life and the next.
Absolutely.
Because God is building your testimony through whatever illness or disease you have.
Amen. Amen. That is the absolute truth. And you guys, we've been through a lot on that level, but God, we've seen more, and that's why we've seen more miracles than anything through that, because you have to have a situation that you need a miracle in order to see a miracle, you guys. So don't resent those moments where God is showing you how much he values you. You think it's counterintuitive. Oh, if he valued me, then he wouldn't let me suffer through this disease. Do you know how many more miracles I've seen through people suffering through challenging times, financially, health-wise, relationships, and miracles happening? You don't see those miracles and everything's going perfectly, because it's going perfectly. There's nothing to repair. There's nothing to restore. There's no miracles needed. God is showing his heart always, but then also keeping us close and blessing us and giving us peace through the whole thing. There's unexplained peace that we've had in moments where he's near death. Okay. So that's God showing his face to us. That's how much he values us. He wants to be close. So guys, we just really wanted to share this. It was on our heart to share this today, because I think that we get really caught up in devaluing ourselves when we let the enemy use the Bible as a tool of division in our communities and our friends and family circles. We're allowing the enemy to lead us to devaluing each other. We're proclaiming death over each other and not life.
Yes.
We are using the very thing that's supposed to proclaim life over us and guide us to a covenant with God to tear each other down. This is the enemy's work. That is where we should make sure we're fighting the enemy. Not on every street corner trying to find out where the enemy's got his symbols. We need to be looking at our relationships and our unity and our brotherhood and our covenant and protecting that with each other. Not arguing and dividing.
Exactly.
And valuing each other the way that God values us too. So I just want to go ahead and exit this episode with a prayer that we're just going to go ahead and lift you guys up. Lord Jesus, I just absolutely just come to you humbly, God, and lift up every listener to this, that they can hear my voice. God, will you be with them today? Will you show your face to them today? God, and your promises, we stand on those promises of victory and value, and that we are the precious jewels that you value so much, Father, that no matter what we do or say in our imperfections and our weaknesses and our shortcomings, God, that you love us because you are who you are. And that we can see ourselves through your eyes, God. Lift the veil of the world off our eyes and reveal to us how you value and see us, that we are your precious jewels. God, we praise you. We thank you. We glorify you through all the situations that you're about to show us in our lives and to reveal your face to us even further and deeper, God. And we just give you all of the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe to Faith Unregulated wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, so you don't miss a single episode where we discuss having bold faith, building strong character, and taking fearless action. Also, be sure to check out our community at patreon.com/faithunregulated, where you can join the conversation and access premium content. Again, that is Patreon, patreon.com/faithunregulated. We are your hosts, Javi and Jessica Madrigal, and see you next time. God bless.